Let's read together Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Now in this first half of the chapter, we have the Lord's command to Joshua and the children of Israel to go in and possess the land of Canaan that he had given to them. Not only do we have the Lord's command, but we have his promise to the people as well, that he would be with them and give them success. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's look at some background notes now as we begin our studies in the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is the inspired record of Israel's conquest of Canaan. Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness for 40 years. Now Moses was dead, and Joshua, the servant of Moses, was given the leadership role. Now Joshua was not some new, young, raw recruit that replaced Moses. No way. General Joshua was already experienced and battle-hardened. We first read of Joshua back in Exodus chapter 17, where he led the army of Israel against the Amalekites in the wilderness. I'm reading Exodus chapter 17, verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And verse 13. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And then we read in Numbers 13 and 14 that Joshua was one of the two faithful spies that Moses sent into the land. Only Joshua and Caleb showed faith and courage. And as a result, they were the only two people from that former generation to enter the promised land. So General Joshua is a faithful and courageous and battle-hardened leader available for service. Joshua is a great example for us to follow. In verse 4, we read of the extent of the land that was given to Israel. Verse 4 once again. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Now that's a lot of land. Check it out on your Bible maps. Israel never possessed all of this land. Now under King Solomon's reign, Israel's control extended to these boundaries. But to this date, Israel has not yet possessed all of this land that God gave them. The mention of this land does lead to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first half of Joshua chapter 1. Doctrinal point number 1, there is a land of spiritual blessings for the believer's enjoyment. There is a land of spiritual blessings for the believer's enjoyment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read about the events which took place as Israel journeyed from Egypt to Canaan. And in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 10, we read, Now all these things happened to them as examples. The word examples here, it's the Greek word meaning types. A type is an Old Testament person, place, event, or other item which illustrates or pictures New Testament truth. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is saying that all the events that happened to the children of Israel, from Egypt to Canaan, are types. So we believe that the conquest and possession of the land of Canaan by God's people in the Old Testament is a spiritual picture of the spiritual land to be possessed by God's people today. Now, what is that spiritual land? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Here we read that God has given the believer every spiritual blessing, and then a list of our spiritual blessings is given in the first half of Ephesians chapter 1. Notice it's not physical blessings, but spiritual blessings. Now, it's nice to be blessed with physical blessings, like good health and wealth. And we can thank the Lord for physical blessings when He gives them to us. But physical blessings are not guaranteed to the Christian, in spite of what the prosperity gospel preachers say. But here's the point. Every spiritual blessing, not every spiritual gift, but every spiritual blessing is already ours in Christ in the heavenlies. There's not a spiritual blessing that God has to offer that's not yours already in Christ, if you're a Christian. Now, what about this word heavenlies here? Ephesians 1:3. The heavenlies, or heavenly places, or heavenly realms, is not heaven. Heaven is in the future for the Christian. The heavenlies is that sphere or realm of spiritual realities now. This is the spiritual land that God has given us. Now, notice the parallel between Ephesians 1:3 and Joshua 1:3. In Joshua 1:3, we read, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you." Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Do you see the parallel and the spiritual picture that we have in the book of Joshua? The land of Canaan was given to God's people for enjoyment. All they had to do was go in and possess it. The land of spiritual blessings is given to God's people today. But we have to go in and possess it and occupy the land. And Ephesians 1:3 tells us that the land of spiritual blessings is for every Christian to enjoy. But you say, I'm not experiencing and enjoying my spiritual blessings in Christ. Well, that may be, but it's not because God has not given them. You must appropriate and live in the good of your spiritual blessings in order to enjoy them. You must enter and possess the land. You can't, for example, enjoy your spiritual blessing of being in the family of God if you want to play around in the world. Let's just say right now you have a little hang-up and you're doubting your salvation. Now I make you an offer. You can have $1 billion or assurance of your salvation. What would you take? Your choice may be an indication of whether you've entered the land of spiritual blessing or not. And even if you were to say both, it may be an indication of whether you've entered the land of spiritual blessings or not. You must enter and possess the land of spiritual blessings that God has given you in order to experience and enjoy these spiritual blessings. There is a land of spiritual blessings for the believer's enjoyment. Doctrinal point number 2, there is a land of spiritual battles for the believer's victory. There is a land of spiritual battles for the believer's victory. You see, the land of Canaan was not only a land flowing with milk and honey, it was a land where there were enemies. The land of blessings was also a land of battles. Now, the same is true of the spiritual land that God wants us to possess. Not only our spiritual blessings are in the heavenlies, but that's where our spiritual battles are as well. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There's that same word again. You see why the heavenlies is not heaven for the believer? When we get to heaven, our spiritual battles are over. But right now, there is spiritual warfare in the realm of spiritual realities. But here's the good news. You never have to be defeated in spiritual warfare. You can always be a winner. Just as Israel was guaranteed victory in the land if they would obey and follow the Lord, so we are guaranteed victory if we put on the whole armor of God and walk with the Lord. Now let's face it, we're not always victorious. We do sin. We do suffer defeat from doubt and discouragement and temptation. But here's the point, we don't have to be defeated. God has enabled us to defeat the devil and his schemes. There is a land of spiritual battles for the believer's victory. Let's move now to our practical application. Let's follow God's prerequisites for prosperity. Let's follow God's prerequisites for prosperity. You understand the word prerequisites, right? It's the things we must do before prosperity. And when we say prosperity, we are not referring to the prosperity gospel idea of good health and great wealth. No, we're talking about spiritual prosperity, enjoying our spiritual blessings in Christ, and winning the spiritual battles we face. Look here at the end of verse 8. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The words "for then" mean that there are prerequisites to being prosperous and successful. What are these prerequisites? Well, first of all, certainly to believe God's promises. God said in verse 5, "So I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." Look at the promise in verse 9. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Great promises. You believe God's promises? It's a prerequisite for spiritual success and prosperity. And then not only must we believe God's promises, we must be strong and courageous. Verse 7. And then as Israel was to observe and obey all the law of God, so we are to be obedient Christians. And then as Israel was to meditate on the word of God day and night, verse 8, so we are to meditate continuously on the word of God. Don't rush your Bible study. How long is your personal Bible study each day anyway? Do you want to be spiritually prosperous and successful? Let's follow God's prerequisites for prosperity.